To read a passage from the book of Acts. Please turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. 37. Now, when you heard this, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This is the beginning, the recording of the beginning of the apostolic church. That after Peter was filled by the Holy Spirit, then here it says that he got up, he gave a sermon. And after the sermon, those people who heard the sermon, but then here it says that they react to the sermon, and then they come, they believe, and they were able to be transformed into a new life. Yes, indeed, this is talking about the formation or the establishment, the establishment of the apostolic church. But today, we can also look into those audience, those people who were able to hear the message and how they transformed in their life. Because what is faith? Why are we here? What is prayer all about? Prayer is not about for you to come here, to kneel here, and to feel the pain in your kneecap and tolerate and suffer and long lasting until the end of this session. This is not opportunity for you to train your physical strength. But prayer is all about a transformation. For you to become a different person with different mentality and also with a new value of life. That's what prayer is all about, transformation. Also, today we look at these people. Those people who came and asked Peter and were able to be transformed into a new form, new life, with a new direction and new goal. They are reasons. Before they came to Peter, they might be terrible person. They might be criminals. They might be merchants who always deceive their customer and enjoy it. But now when they came to Peter, when they grasped this opportunity of a lifetime to transform themselves, they became a new beings, and not only they became a new beings, that they were called the apostolic church. The beginning of a great era and glorious moment for the Lord. Today, when we come here, I hope this is all we dream for. Not just here because it's NYTS. We're just here because it's NYTS. We get to meet like 100-some youth. And, for you, I hope this is more than just a retreat or just an opportunity of gathering and see people. It should be more than that. It's wonderful for you to be here and meet people and meet friends, making spiritual friends. Those are wonderful. But I do wish that there is a greater reason, greater purpose, and greater goal for us to be here. Why are we here? We wish we could be like these people. We can be transformed into a new being. And not only that, we are able to gather and become a powerful force as the beginning of the apostolic church. But as we said yesterday, dreaming is always good. But do not allow dream to always stay as a dream. So now we need to look at what happened to these people in order to trigger this reaction of transformation. But in here, we see three things. So maybe, perhaps, these are the three things that we also need to acquire in order to transform ourselves in here. So what are the three things that we find in here that make them so different? Let's turn back to Acts chapter 2, huh? Verse 37. But in here it said, now when they heard this. So it began with what? It began with hearing. It began with hearing the words. When Peter was giving out the sermon, there are many, many people standing there and listen. And some of them, after their lesson, they were able to feel something different. So transformation always begins with listening to the words. And that's what we are doing in here. If you think that, oh, you know what, I'm just here for the prayer. So, you know, I will do my own things in the class time because I'm just here to pray. Only prayer means something. Ah, pastor. Pastor's message is just, you know, his own thoughts. But I'm here to pray. I'm touching God in my prayer. It's very personal. You know what? If you think this way, you might feel you are so transcending, so high above there, so spiritual. But in fact, you are very wrong. You are very wrong. If you think just in here, you can totally ignore the class, but just concentrate in prayer and you want to go somewhere in your prayer, you will be very, very disappointed. Because remember, transformation in here begins with hearing the words. Hearing the words. Let's turn the verse. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Nothing here says that he might sanctify and cleanse the church, the church, with the washing of water by the word. Also, this is the baptism of words. Nothing here says that how do we wash ourselves clean? How does God wash his church clean? It's through the water by the words. By the words, by the truth, by the teaching of the Bible. And so today when we come to the presence of the Lord, we want to kneel down, we want to pray, we want to get near to him. It has a lot to do. Not just about that 20 minutes when you kneel down and pray. It also has a lot to do with how you act during the class, how you act during the sermon. If we conceal our heart, if we're not listening during the class because we feel, there's no need. It's a talk of man. I'm just here to talk to God. If we have this kind of wrong concept and we feel that we do not need to listen to the words, then you know what? When it comes to prayer, you will feel very weak. Because without the words, we are unable to obtain directions. Without the words, we are unable to be washed clean. Also, then here we see that in the beginning of their transformation, the first thing that they do is they are filled by the words. They listen, they stay there, they listen, they pay attention. And because they were able to pay attention, now they are able to absorb the words. And that triggered the whole transformation. Not yet. Stay there. Yeah. Also, brothers and sisters, we have to check ourselves. We have to check ourselves. How is our, examine yourself. Examine yourself. How is your situation, your vitality during the class time? We might feel, you know what? I'm here. I'm international flight, I'm having a transfer, I'm having a jet lag, I'm having this, I'm having that. So you know what? Sometimes we give ourselves many reasons why we doze off in the class so easily. You know, you sit down, you say silent prayer, and then you're gone. Until the bell rings and say, Amen. You will back to life. You know what? Sometimes we have to check ourselves. What's going on? What's going on? Do not think that your dozing off in the class is purely physical fatigueness. It might not. It might not. Look at what happened to Peter. When Peter got up to the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus, what's the first thing that they do? They got up there, they look around, there's nothing. And then what happened? The Bible says that they fall asleep. They fall asleep. And what happened? The Bible says that when Jesus transfigured and manifested the glorious form, beautiful and glorious form, and they, he woke up. Almost missed everything. He could miss everything if he slept through it. You know what, during the class time, there might be words that trigger the transformation of your life. There might be opportunity, some verses that might save you in your spiritual journey. But if you sleep through it, then you know what? The opportunity slipped from your hand. So we have to do all possible to keep ourselves awake and energetic in the class. Because you never know. Maybe one thing, one sentence that you hear could just change your life upside down, totally. And then mark a different trace and lead you to a different ending in your journey. Also, your situation during the class is a very good reflection, a very good index of your spiritual situation. If you always feel very tired when the sermon begins and become extremely energetic once the class ends, perhaps it's not physical, perhaps it's something about you, your spiritual life. Also, in our prayer, we need to ask the Lord to keep ourselves energetic in the class. And you know what? It becomes a positive circle. Become positive. You are energetic in the class. You listen to the words. You are filled by the words of God. And you feel powerful in your prayer. And because you feel strengthened and powerful in your prayer, you bow back. You have more strength in the class. So it becomes a very, very positive circle that generates you strength. But it could also go the other way around. It could go the other way around. Okay? So the thing here, the first thing that you have to hear the words, pay attention in the class. And the second thing in here, it says what? It says, after they heard the words of Peter, they were cut to the heart. Many people hear, many people listen, but not everyone were cut to the heart. So then here we see that there's a group of people who are reacting, who after they hear the words, they were able to respond to the message that they heard. Also, every time when we participate in seminar, it's a great opportunity for us to cut to our heart. It's an opportunity for us to reflect, re-examine, and open ourselves up in front of the Lord and look at ourselves and see, this is no good. This is unclean. This is filthy. This is too much. It's an opportunity for us to look at our ugly side and try to cleanse it with the power of the Lord. Of course, this operation, this cleansing process is not very pleasant because you might need to face the side of you that you never want to see. You might need to retrieve the memory that you never want to think. Yeah. You have to look at your life. You have to look how you act in your school, at your school, how you deal with your friends. What were you doing out there? That's what you need to do. That's called cut to the heart. You are seriously looking through your life and see, why isn't God here with me? Why am I always weak? You know what? People can find excuse left and right. Thousands. You can always tell yourself, you know what? God created me this way. God created me to be weak. So, you know, God is very understanding. When I fail in my faith, when I hang out with my friend, when I'm using foul language, you know, God is very understanding. He knows I'm just a kid. And I will grow out of it, and one day I will become a very useful vessel in the house of God. You know what? You can totally excuse yourself. But unfortunately, this kind of self-pity will not get you anywhere. So it's opportunity. So what is prayer about? Prayer is for you to kneel here and look through your life, project it in front of your eyes, and you look at yourself and see how ugly you are. And then you need to feel bad about it. You should look at yourself and see what you have felt, how you have failed the Lord. Last year in last NYTS, we were here together. Last year in NYTS, in our prayer, we make determinations. Last year until now, for one full year, what have you done? What have I done? Have I fulfilled my promise with the Lord? Am I able to live a new life? Have I achieved what I vowed to the Lord in my prayer since last year until now? It's an opportunity for us to really seriously looking through our life. This one entire year, what are we doing? And all this thing that we achieve, all the thing that we work so hard for, how many of them are ever related to our faith or related to our God? So that's called cut to the heart. Now you have to be mean to yourself. You have to basically pull open your heart and look at it piece by piece. Look at your life piece by piece and say, this is not good enough for my Lord. I could do better. So brothers and sisters, cut to the heart is an examination process, but it's also an unpleasant one because it hurts. It hurts. Every time when you look at yourself, especially the moment that no one is around you, especially the moment that there is no church member around you, the moment that your parents are not there or looking at you over your shoulder, the moment that you have to make decision on your own. And then we need to look at ourselves and see, what have we done in this 1 year? And maybe you will feel uncomfortable, yes. Maybe you will feel that's the moment that you do not want to look back. Maybe you will feel it's no good. Just let it go, let it pass by. Yes, it hurts. Uncomfortably hurting. But every time when we are able to be honestly, to face ourselves honestly, it's an opportunity for us to grow and improve. Because now you know where the problem is. Also, reaction and digging. You need to dig into your heart. It's crucial for our faith. And that's what we should be doing in our prayer. In our prayer, don't just think something big. You kneel there, you say, Lord, one day I go to Africa, I will do this for you and that. Lord, I will do this, I will become somebody. You know what? Those are very far. It's good though, but those are too far. Those are too far. When you have these great grand dreams for your future, how you should serve in the Lord, look at yourself right at this moment, right now. So in the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah said to the Lord, Lord, I will go for you, me, I can do it. When Isaiah made this great dream for the Lord, from chapter 1 to chapter 5, he was like, I'll do this, I will change that, I will, convert everybody, be someone great for the Lord. You know, he done something great for sure. But until chapter 6, before the Lord called him, the Lord asked him to look at himself very deeply. And he said, woe to me, I'm such an ugly person. Woe to me, I'm a man with unclean lips. He never realized that. From chapter 1 to chapter 5, he never realized that. He thought he was pretty A-okay. Yes, compared to other people, compared to other Israelites, yes, he's pretty okay. One of the best. Spirituality, high up there. No problem. So I can do this, I can change that. I can convince people, I will turn their faith, I will be someone great in the house of the Lord. But until he see the manifestation of the Lord, and then he look at himself, he said, oh my goodness. I'm a man with unclean lips. I never realized that. That's what we need to do. And only after he went through this painful process of self-examination, when he feels sorry, he feels bad about himself, that's when the Lord called upon him. That's when the Lord clings his lips and, you know what? Go for us. Go for us. So brothers and sisters, cut to the heart is a mandate process for you to transform. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 2, huh? Acts chapter 2, verse 37. So they said, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Huh? Now, hey, you listen to the words in the class. Good, attentively. Okay? Good. Now you, in your prayer, you examine yourself and you find out that, hey, I'm no good. You look at yourself and say, you know what? There are many promises I made to the Lord last year. I was unable to keep it. I fall through. Well, good. Now you look, you yank it open. You see that you are not as good as you think you are. But what else? What now? What now? These people, if they only listen to the words and they only feel bad, cut to the heart, and then they go home and cry to their mom. Oh. They hold their pillow, oh, cry whole night. Oh, I'm no good. And that's the end of it. You know what? That's not going to help them. You cry a day, you cry 2 days, you cry 3 days, and you forgot about it. Then you go back to your old self because no action is taken. You can feel pity. You can tell yourself, Lord, I'm weak. Why are you creating me so weak? Why are you making me so weak? Yeah, you know what? You can go back, cry to your pillow. But what else? What else? So you know what? Examining process is only the beginning. When we come here, when we kneel down, when we pray, when we shed tears, when we feel bad about ourselves, what else are we doing? Crying once, crying twice, crying three times, and you know what? You get numb if you do not do anything about it. You can cry and pity yourself. You can cry and tell yourself you're just strengthless. No, I can't. So you know what? Go back after NYTS, you go back to your old life. And then you know what? The same thing is going to happen in 2015, 2016, 2017. Every time when you come back, you listen to the words. Oh, pierced by the words. You kneel down to pray. You examine yourself. Oh, pierced to your heart, cut to your heart. But what else? You come back in 2017, you do the same thing again. It becomes what? A habitual repentance. It doesn't do you any good. So then here, why these people were able to, they were the foundation of apostolic church. Just 3,000 people, they were the foundation of apostolic church. They were the first seed that joined the church. Why? What leads to the transformation is when they ask, men and brethren, please tell us, what should we do? What should we do? So you know what? Listening to the words, knowing what is right and wrong, prayer, cut to your heart, feel bad, realizing our lacking. But then the next question that in our prayer we need to ask the Lord is, Lord, what should I do? It's a determination. When you say, what should I do? It's not just a random asking, oh, Lord, what should I do? Oh, I need to pray every day. No, maybe not that one. Well, next option, please. You do not do that. There's no option for you to pick. Choose and pick. When you ask, what should I do? Those people, when they ask, what should I do, brothers? They meant it. Whatever Peter told them that, oh, you need to do this. They said, you know what? We will do it. When you ask the Lord, what should I do to transform my life? What should I do to have a new direction? What should I do to be glorious one day when I see the Lord? As a wish, as a dream. How do I fulfill my dream? At this time, the message that you receive, the determination that you made, you must carry it through. That's the only way. That's the only way to make you different. That's the only way to allow you to be somebody in the eyes of the Lord. Thinking is good. You listen a lot, you think a lot, it's good. Pray is good. You pray, you examine yourself. That's good. But what else? What else are you doing? So prayer, the effectiveness of prayer. Please do remember, huh? You want to have a good prayer. What is a good prayer? A lot of times I hear people saying this from the members. We hear this all the time. Oh, I have a good prayer. And sometimes it always puzzles me. It always puzzles me. When we say, I have a good prayer, this prayer is good, what does it mean? What does it mean? Maybe it means that, oh, you feel very comfortable in your prayer, as someone carry you. Wonderful. And maybe you cry, you shed tears, you feel burden lift off your heart. That's wonderful. Those are good too. Those are good. But seriously, what does it mean by having a good prayer? Having a good prayer is not about emotional comfortableness. It's not about you feel good or you shed tears, you feel God forgive you. It's not about feeling. A good prayer is never about an emotional reaction. It's about a practical transformation. What is a good prayer? A good prayer is when you got up from prayer, you become a different person. You are able to face your weaknesses and deal with it. You are able to find people who you wrong a few years ago and you apologize. Some people that you refuse to talk for a long time and you took the initiative, either forgiving or, you know, communicating. So what is a good prayer? A good prayer is what you do after your prayer, not during the prayer. What you do after the prayer. They are members that I know. After a one long prayer, God pick up the phone and call his own brother, who he haven't talked for 10 years. They were having a very big fight over money. And for 10 years, they hate each other. They hate each other so much. Wouldn't talk. Two family, as strangers. But after one long prayer, he got that he feel moved by the Holy Spirit, compelled. He said, I just have to pick up the phone and call my brother. And you know what? His brother was caught by such a surprise, because for 10 years, there's no association at all. Caught by surprise. End up with tea and become good brothers again. That's called good prayer. So you know what? In our prayer, we do not just seek emotional, mental comfortableness. Those, you know what? If you feel the Lord hold you in it, that's wonderful. That's a great experience. But what's more important is what happened after that. What happened after that? You kneel down, you shed tears, you got up, you deal with your problem. That's what good prayer is about. So brothers and sisters, in here they ask, what should I do? What should I do? In your prayer, please ask the same question. Lord, what should I do? And when you get the answer, remember, when you receive this answer, because the Lord is going to tell you, if you really pray hard enough, you pray in your depth, you know what? The problem will reveal. You will know. It will appear in your mind here, and you just realize, oh, okay, I know. That's what I did in school that the Lord doesn't like. I know that. Maybe it's not a whisper, it's not a voice that goes straight to your ear. No, but in your heart, the Lord will let you know. When you pray sincerely and ask, Lord, cut to your heart, and you say, Lord, what should I do? Let me know. And then the Lord will let you know. You will see how you live your life in school, among your peers, at home, dealing with your parents. You know what? You will see those things. And you know what? When you realize where the problem is, it's that opportunity that the Lord is saying to you, this is what I want you to do. Will you do it? And you know what? At that very moment, our decision, whether we will do it or we will just push it off, whether we were determined to make a difference or we just brush it off our shoulder and say, oh, Lord, you know, this is hard. I will try the next time. You could. The Lord will not force you. But then, you know, wait until next time. Then the Lord will give you another opportunity. But meanwhile, you stay as where you are. You stay where you are. Not going anywhere. Not growing to any, not growing any higher. So you know what? When you kneel down and pray in this prayer, think what you have heard in the class. All the teachings that you have learned. And look through your life and see how you feel about it. And then ask the Lord, Please show me. Show me. Where is the problem in my spiritual life? And also give me the strength. You ask the Lord, give me the strength. I alone cannot do it. Help me to be different. Then you know what? At the end of the prayer, when you got up, there will be a seed of courage. A seed of courage planted inside of you. And then you know what? From this NYTS to next NYTS, you will see how yourself grows step by step. And hopefully next year, by 2015, when we all come back, when we look back, we can see, oh, indeed, I am different. Let's all come to the front.